This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
The shining stars of HPC.
It's HPC Wire, people to watch for 2012.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our special edition of HPC Wire Soundbite for January 24th, 2012. Every year, HPC Wire announces our annual People to Watch list. These are individuals who we believe will have the greatest impact in the HPC world in the upcoming year and maybe beyond. So we just announced our 2012 winners today, and here on the show, we're going to talk about why we selected them. I'm joined by my regular co-host, Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research, of course. How you doing, Addison?
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me.
And we have also Jeff Hyman, the publisher and president of HPC Wire. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Michael. It's good to be here.
Well, Jeff, we've got we picked 13 people to watch, the lucky 13 this year. You're going to sort of intro them for us, and then we're going to talk a little bit about them between ourselves. So why don't we start in? We've got a nice list, and anxious to get going here.
Well, I appreciate that, Michael. As usual, it's very difficult to pick 10, 12, in this case 13 people out of a myriad of people that are more than deserving. But every year we sit down, we go through a relatively stringent review process. We have long discussions with the editorial team, the publishing team, and various industry luminaries that are close to HPC Wire, and we try to come up with a cross-section of people that have either accomplished great things and we believe are on the cusp of doing more, or maybe some lesser-known people who warrant eyeballs on them. And that's what we do here at HPC Wire. We try to aggregate the right content and add expert commentary to help our audience navigate a pretty complex vertical. So with no further ado, why don't we get going? Our first recipient is a well-known full professor from Georgia Tech University. He's the executive director of high performance computing there. Dave Bader has, a long list of accomplishments, starting, I guess, with being a co-founder of the Graph 500, which is was unveiled at Supercomputing a couple of years ago. Addison, I know you've known David. What's your insight into him this year?
Well, yeah, this is a great pick. In addition to what you already discussed in terms of being a co-founder of the Graph 500, which is a benchmark that's been growing in importance over time, he's involved in many research projects, including Internet 2, and he's been very helpful to us in our history at Intersect 360 Research, giving us a lot of insights into what it takes to run the HPC lab at Georgia Tech. He's very visible in the industry. He's been a lead scientist on the DARPA Ubiquitous High Performance Computing Program. It seems like he's got his hands in a lot of really important projects around HPC.
Yeah, that's the way I look at David. He does. He does seem to be ubiquitous in the space. I mean, he does have his hands in a lot of different areas.
He is ubiquitous HPC.
Yeah, he is ubiquitous. Not just high performance computing. He's the guy. I've even got a book on Petascale that he edited a while back. He's published a lot. He's just well known in the community. And like you said, he's in the Graph 500 effort, which we're tracking very closely because of the big data link. So we're sort of looking for him to do big things there and some of the other areas he's involved with. So that's a good pick. I like David. He's a good guy all around, and happy to have him on the list.
Yeah, kind of hard to run down all these accomplishments in a podcast. Maybe everyone can go read about it on the link, get his full bio.
Yep.
Right. Good suggestion. Next up is someone who might be a little less well-known to the audience. He's certainly not unknown to the HPC community. Vendors, and that's Pascal Barbalossi. Pascal is the vice president of extreme computing at Bull. He replaced a longtime fellow named Fabio Gallo, who left Bull last year. Pascal is from the island of Corsica, which is a beautiful French island. And I love the slogan that he lives by, which is Passe et salute, or peace and health, which is important to have in life. And he believes that these are the essentials of true business success. The kind of guy, you know, Europe is in recession, and certainly high tech is one of the verticals that I think Europeans are looking to help pull them out of some of the problems that we all hear about overseas. Michael, you were instrumental in one of these picks. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, Pascal's definitely a guy we want to watch. I mean, Bull is one of the few HPC system vendors in Europe, and they've got their work cut out for them. There's a lot more competition than there's been in the past. I mean, not just from the U.S., but, you know, we see the Chinese coming on. We see guys like Russian T-platforms starting to penetrate into Europe. So, I mean, Bull's done a lot of things over the past few years to get them back into HPC with their BullX architecture, their on-demand solutions. But it's going to be a lot of work. And Pascal's got a lot of accomplishments. He's a good replacement for Fabio, who did a great job. It's going to be interesting a few years to watch how Pascal does with the Bull Group.
Yeah, Bull's got a lot of opportunity in front of them and people to watch in terms of, you know, what's Pascal going to do with that opportunity. Absolutely a good pick. We're excited to see how that goes over 2012.
Next up is Eric Barton, and Eric is the Chief Technical Officer and a co-founder of WhamCloud. You know, Michael, last summer, I think it was, when we came out of ISC, you looked at WhamCloud, and Lustre in particular is one of those companies and technologies that the audience should, you know, kind of be vigilant to.
Yep.
So I'd like to start with Addison. Your thoughts on Eric and Lustre in general?
Yeah, we're posting a research document now on some of our top insights from 2011 generated by our research. And as we were coming out of 2011, we've been saying one of the most important things that's been happening is the stabilization of the Lustre roadmap, the development of a vibrant HPC community around Lustre. WhamCloud has played a central role in that, and a lot of WhamCloud's role in the open source comes down to very visible persona like Eric Barton. Now, obviously, there's a team there, but Eric is a good personification of a lot of the work that WhamCloud's done to synthesize that roadmap and rally the HPC community around Lustre.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to agree with that. It's interesting, though, how much the Lustre technology, especially over the past few years, have been driven by certain personalities, and Eric is definitely one of them. This was a hard pick. We could have picked three or four different people that are driving Lustre technology or that have driven it and are crucial to it over the past few years. Eric, of course, is with WhamCloud, and they've been instrumental, but obviously there's other companies that are into this space as well. So this is a good pick. Eric's a great guy, and he's an interesting guy,
yeah,
too.
I like having it on Eric. I think that if you're going to pick one person to watch, that's a great choice.
It is. I mean, Eric has done wonderful things, and he's doing wonderful things at WhamCloud and to push this technology forward. So we're looking for him to even step that up in 2012 and probably beyond that.
The next pick, I don't think really was a hard one, and it comes out of the vendor community, and it's Alex Buzzari, who's the CEO of Data Direct Networks. I think the only thing that makes that a hard pick is to pick Alex and not mention Paul Block, because these are the co-founders of the company and very much a yin and yang kind of situation. But we had to pick one, and so, you know, no offense to Paul, but Alex has really taken a company and certainly taken the storage and big data topics and really just created a monster of a company. We've been watching storage and so we've seen Blue Arc be acquired by Hitachi, and we've seen Isilon acquired by EMC and DDN and Panasis, obviously, but DDN to a larger extent are really the guys that are kind of hanging in there on their own. And I think it bears watching. Who knows what direction it'll go. They've made all of the right choices. Their booth at Supercomputing was just packed. I've learned a little bit more about Alex in the vetting process here, and he is quite the Renaissance man. And, you know, I would really encourage any of the audience next time you're at one of the shows, if DDN's booth is there, to take a peek, because these guys, they know storage, they know culture, and well worth watching. Michael, anything you can add to that?
Yeah, I mean, Alex obviously has done a very very good job at DDN, a very successful company now, and it's a tough space. I mean, we've seen, you know, companies like Blue Arc and Genio get bought up by Hitachi and NetApp respectively there. I mean, DataDirect is stuck with its guns. It's an independent company. In fact, right now it's the world's largest private storage company, and that's actually, it's a rare breed to be a private storage company nowadays. They're getting consolidated at a pretty good clip, not just in HPC, but everywhere. And, you know, Alex has made it a very profitable company without going public. So he's done a great job, and he's looking forward to a big year. We've talked to him a few times. You know, with the big data push, DDN is very well positioned to take advantage of a lot of the growth there. And Alex knows it, and the whole company knows it, and we expect big things from the company this year and down the line.
Well, yeah, and Jeff was pointing to the consolidation in the industry. This is 2012 is going to be a very important year to see how DDN continues to compete against, you know, NetApp with the acquisition of Ingenio, and HDS with the acquisition of Blue Arc, and EMC with the acquisition of Isilon. DDN just focusing more on that HPC sector without the, but as an independent private company is going to be an interesting dynamic to watch.
Next up is a guy coming out of IBM, Dave Ferrucci. And Dave was the principal investigator for the Watson Jeopardy project. And I think you would both have to agree that was certainly one of the big stories coming out of last year, was Watson and the, you know, the hype around it and this whole push towards this sort of artificial intelligence. And David was one of the primary guys to do it, and certainly somebody that we should really be focused on. Michael, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, David, obviously, he's not the household name that IBM Watson is, sort of its prodigy there, but he was the guy that drove this project back starting, I think, in 2007, that culminated last year in the Jeopardy challenge and the big PR win for IBM, because that snuffed the two Jeopardy champions in a 3-day match. And yeah, the you know, Watson's gone on to do some commercial work in the healthcare industry, and Ferrucci's still behind that. There's going to be I think a lot of news in this area as they take this technology into the commercial realm. Ferrucci's critical to that, and I think we're going to hear a lot more about him and the technology in the upcoming year.
Well, it's no secret that I was a big fan of the whole Watson project. You know, that was just a delight to watch, and now we're seeing that technology get deployed in different ways for business, including in medicine, most notably right now. So absolutely something we want to continue to watch this year.
Next up is Steve Reagan, and Steve might be lesser known to some of the HPC Wire listeners here. Steve is the computational modeling manager at a company called LNL Products. I think to a certain extent we're recognizing Steve because of his focus with the Alliance for High Performance Digital Manufacturing and his advocations supporting what I guess a lot of readers have come to know is the missing middle. Addison, I think you know him a little bit better than I do. Thoughts?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're talking about the right things. Under what Steve has done, LNL Products has become really an effective case study for what a smaller, medium-sized manufacturer can benefit by adopting HPC. So as we go to various meetings like around the Alliance for High Performance Digital Manufacturing or the strategic interest group that's been formed up, or conferences like HPC 360 that had a missing middle focus, Steve has had a visible role in that community to provide that proof point for what a manufacturer can gain by adopting HPC.
Right, and he used to be with the Ford Motor Company back before his current gig. And he's got deep experience in this area. He's also deep in algorithmic development. He's basically an algorithmic scientist who became an advocate for sort of this missing middle and the manufacturing alliance. So it's good to have an individual like this who sort of crossed over from sort of a technical person to to the advocacy area. So he's a good pick. I like Stephen as a pick for the people to watch this year, and we'll be keeping an eye on him and see what develops with that.
Right. The next pick actually kind of dovetails in with Steve, and that's John Riley. And we met John a couple years ago, and John is now the Vice President of Digital Manufacturing at the NCMS. And for those of you who are not familiar with the NCMS, it's the National Center for Manufacturing Sciences. And at least with this pick, I want to take a more simplistic role and vision of it. You know, we're in an election year. I don't think there's anybody listening who isn't concerned about the economy, about manufacturing in this country, isn't concerned about job creation. And the NCMS is, you know, a government agency somewhat at the forefront of trying to find ways to use technology to bring manufacturing back into this country and make small and medium-sized manufacturers more viable. And this is a pick, I think, that is somewhat patriotic in nature. And, you know, I've got, you know, personal high hopes that the NCMS is capable of helping find ways to make this country more robust in manufacturing and less service oriented. I know you know him, Addison. What do you think about this pick?
Well, yeah, John, more than anybody, has been responsible for raising the visibility of NCMS and taking a central role in this missing middle problem. NCMS has been partnering with the White House on the Advanced Manufacturing Partnership Initiative, supporting that. They've got the Strategic Interest Group going for digital manufacturing. They've got their Predictive Innovation Center strategy, the PIC strategy. I wrote a report card in Digital Manufacturing Report a few months ago about all the different missing middle initiatives and what they've accomplished so far, what their future prospects for success were. And I gave my highest future marks to the possibilities of these programs coming out of NCMS, and that's been John driving it.
Yeah, this is a great pick. I mean, he was instrumental in this whole effort, and recently sort of promoted the VP of the Digital Manufacturing Group under NCMS. So well-deserved pick and well-deserved position for John. And he's going to be active this year and in the coming years to push this effort forward. So we're looking forward to keeping an eye on that.
I think we'll jump back on the next pick. We're going to go back into the vendor community. And the next pick is from a company that is no stranger to any HPC Wire listener. It comes out of Intel, and that's Mark Seeger. And Mark is the Chief Technology Officer for the High Performance Computing Ecosystem Group. I believe he works in Kirk Skaugen's organization. This is an organization that has made all kinds of inroads over the last few years, and certainly we've covered Intel in many, many ways. Most recently, I think today or yesterday, with this acquisition of QLogic. Hard to leave anybody from Intel off the list. I mean, I imagine we could have picked a lot of people. Michael, why him?
Well, he's a good pick for this, and an interesting pick in that most of his career, the majority, I think, he's been a user. He's at Lawrence Livermore for a number of years, where he sort of launched a lot of these successful supercomputing platforms and the strategy behind that. And that's, I think, where he's most well known recently. And recently, he just joined Intel as the CTO of this high performance group. So I think that was a great find by Intel to get him on board, because as a user and somebody who's got deep knowledge in the industry, it's crucial for Intel to get people like that as they push into HPC, which they really just started in a really serious way just a few years ago. So we expect great things from Mark at Intel, and best of luck to him as well.
Well, I think to say Intel only started to push into HPC a few years ago is a little simplified. They've been in some ASCII systems going back before that. The funny thing is, though, that Mark was involved as the buyer, the implementer, the installer of those systems on the ASCII side. And then what Intel did do over the last couple of years is start hiring a lot of the external talent internally. Seeger, Mark is a great personification of that and gives Intel undeniable supercomputing chops.
Yeah, Intel, you know, hard to be a $40 or $50 or $60 billion company and be flying under the radar, but I think Intel is poised for some great stuff. Next up, I want to shift back into National Labs, I believe, at Argonne, and that's Mark Sneer, who's the Director of Mathematics and Computer Science Division and very responsible for the Blue Waters Project. I think Blue Waters was about as big a story as anything last year for a variety of reasons. Addison, what are your thoughts on this particular pick?
Well, yeah, the reason I really love this pick is that out of all of the principal investigators on Blue Waters, Mark is the one who's got the responsibility for software, which I think is going to be a really important aspect of what makes this a productive machine. So to have Mark in charge of the software lead of Blue Waters, as well as his work with going back to Graph 500, he was a original contributor to MPI. I think he's going to be doing some really interesting work in 2012.
Yeah, and it's going to be challenging work too. I mean, like Jeff said, there was a lot of sort of controversy around the Blue Water system this year after IBM basically pulled out of that. You know, Mark's role as the head of software is somewhat challenging now. I mean, for years he thought they were going to be creating software and software frameworks for, you know, a power based Blue Water system, and now it's a Cray system with AMD and NVIDIA GPU technology. So quite a different architecture, quite a challenge for Mark to shift gears. But he's a very accomplished guy in the industry. We followed him for a while, so he's up to the task, and it'll be interesting to see what comes the Blue Water system as it rolls out in 2012.
The next pick is one I like a lot, and again, it comes out of the vendor community, but you know, this is a fellow who left a great company to join a great company, and I think just on the strength of that, it bears watching. I'm referring to Steve Scott, who previously was the CTO at Cray, working in tandem with Peter Ungaro, who needs no introduction to our audience. And Steve, as most of you HPC Wire readers know through our coverage, left Cray recently to join NVIDIA and be the CTO of the Tesla business unit. And to this is the sort of talent that when you can take it from one company to another, I mean, it just can transform you. So I think it's a brilliant story and certainly bears watching. Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, this was, I think, maybe the easiest pick of all the 13 people. Steve Scott, the CTO at the NVIDIA Tesla Group. Like you said, I mean, Steve's well known in the industry, mostly as the technical officer at Cray. But this is a great find by NVIDIA to get even more talent on an already pretty heavily talented, loaded group there at NVIDIA that's running the high performance group. But Steve's, he's always been high on the GPU technology, so it's not a huge surprise that if he had to go somewhere, he would go to sort of the premier vendor in GPU and HPC right now. And it'll be interesting to see over this next year how the Tesla business develops. We know Kepler's going to come out this year. There's going to be another set of developments, I think, and Steve Scott's driving a lot of that. So he's got a lot of interesting work ahead of him, and then we're going to be following him all year.
Well, one thing we found in our research is that the end user community is adopting accelerators, and predominantly GPUs right now, predominantly NVIDIA GPUs right now. But as we head toward a heterogeneous architecture future in HPC, the movement of Steve from Cray to NVIDIA personifies that trend. It's going to be very important as the architecture battle heats up, not only in 2012, but Michael, at the top of the program, you talked about in the years plural ahead. I think we can look at the next 3 to 5 years as being a possible inflection point. And, you know, as we look at what's going to happen with NVIDIA versus things like Intel with Knight's Corner, Steve is going to be right in the thick of that. Absolutely a very important person to watch right now.
Absolutely.
Next up is the project leader of next generation supercomputing out of Riken, and that is Tadashi Watanabe. I think Tadashi is as well known for his work working with the group over at Fujitsu and the K computer. And I don't believe that needs any explanation. That was, I think, last year's largest supercomputer in the world. Addison, your thoughts on this selection?
Well, yeah, when Michael and I were doing our wrap-up show from 2011, going back and talking about what the most important things that happened in 2011, we had Riken right on the top of the list. And Watanabe was one of the leaders at Riken who got that system installed. And not only all of the regular challenges that go with a system bring up, but in the wake of a natural disaster in Japan, and then to have it upgraded again at the end of the year, Riken, absolutely one of the foremost supercomputing centers in the world right now, and eyes on Watanabe for 2012 to see how that continues.
Yeah, Tadashi, he's done a tremendous job there. I mean, considering not just the earthquake this past year. I mean, the whole project was sort of in the balance there prior to that, because we know that Hitachi and NEC pulled out of the K supercomputer project, and then leaving it up to Fujitsu to sort of carry the ball forward. And there was also the threat of defunding of the whole project by the government for a while. But it fortunately for Japan and for Riken, it turned out okay. And Tadashi probably had a key role in that to push this forward and to advocate for the importance of this next generation project. So congratulations to him for what happened. And we're definitely going to see what comes out of that K computer application-wise over the coming year. I mean, it's the only 10 petaflop system. There's going to be a lot of interesting science to be done on that in physics and chemistry and biology. So we're looking forward to some very interesting work on that, and Tadashi's going to be at the center of that.
Next up is someone that I think is very familiar to the HPC wire community. That's John West. John was recently appointed the director at the Department of Defense for their high-performance computing modernization program, and I got to believe that's a huge job, and I don't know John personally all that well, Michael. I know you've known him for years. What do you think about this one?
Oh, this is a great pick. Yeah, John's a friend of HPCR. Used to write for us, obviously. But John's everywhere in the community. Even though he's got this huge responsibility now at the Department of Defense, and it is huge. It's like basically being the money guy at the top of the NSF. Except in this case, it's the DOD. John's everywhere. If you go to HPC events, he's in the thick of it. So he's one of these ubiquitous personalities in HPC. And now with this new role, he's going to have even a bigger, I think, impact on the community.
Yeah, well, you mentioned you see him when you go around to various events. He's also, I think, taking on a leadership role in the ongoing management of the HPCC conference, the annual Newport conference, taking that over from John Miguel. Absolutely a well-recognized guy in HPC, and I wish him luck, not that he needs it, in his new role at the DoD Mod Office, where he'll have a substantial influence in the future of supercomputing for the U.S. military organizations.
We've reached number 13, and I think this is a perfect pick and a perfect way to end. Our last selection of 2012 is the president of the Technical Computing Solution Group at Fujitsu, and that's Masahiko Yamada. And I think it's a fitting end. 2 years ago, the Chinese unveiled their supercomputer and came in number one in the top 500. And I think Fujitsu was one of these companies that was a little bit forgotten. And they certainly came roaring back last year with their new K computer, which took over the number one slot. So, you know, a guy who's running a company who has the number one supercomputer in the world, I think, is a fitting way to end. Addison, you know, can you bring us to a conclusion here?
Well, yeah, we were already talking about the K computer and its importance, and Fujitsu really doing a heroic job picking up the burden of installing that system and getting it installed on time and becoming the number one computer in the world. This is one that could probably be a team-based nomination, but Yamada absolutely in that leadership role delivering the K computer, which is, I think, the most important system installation of 2011.
Yeah, that was a huge accomplishment and one we've obviously talked about quite a bit. But I'm thinking just back this past 12 months, and I think we've posted more stories about Fujitsu and HPC over the last year than probably in the previous 5 years. Fujitsu's come on very strong over the last 12 months, and they intend to keep going. I know we talked about the K computer a lot, but there's also the Prime HPC FX10 system that they've come up with, the new Spark9 based system. They're going to try and sell, you know, dozens of those internationally over the next year, which is a huge challenge for them. I mean, the Spark system's not exactly commodity HPC, but they've already got one system installed in Japan. And then, lest we forget that HPC Wales deal back in 2011, that was a huge deal for Fujitsu, and I think sort of the type of thing they're looking to do in Europe over the next year or two. So Masahiko's got a crucial role here, and I think it's going to be somebody who we're going to watch very, very closely as Fujitsu sort of rolls out its HPC strategy.
Well, I think that brings us to the end. So I'd like to take a minute to thank both of you. Michael, your contributions to HPC Wire need no accolade. You know, you've been the heart and soul of our organization for the many years as I've been here. Addison, you know, we certainly could not do HPC Wire Soundbite without you. And for, you know, those of you in the audience listening, you know, Addison's company at Intersect 360 is one that if you don't know, you certainly should have some sort of relationship with. I'd like to thank our readers for listening in. I'd like to thank our sponsors for helping support us. And I'd like to wish all of those of you listening a wonderful, healthy, and profitable 2012.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.